As I said, this is the last subject that I'm going to take up on that of heaven, living in light of heaven. And I want especially to focus on this passage that I read, Hebrews 2, 10 through 18, and focus on verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, and that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Last week I directed your attention to the subject of living in light of heaven and how having Christ shapes our life, and on the area of our sanctification, that we live putting off sin. Today I want to address the subject of death. Where better to turn in thinking about the subject of death and the fear of death than the subject of heaven, to address what Christ has done and how he has destroyed him who has the power of death and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The subject of death is one that we don't like to talk about very much. God has led us to think about it a little bit more over the last 6 months or so because of the death of a friend, the death of someone who's been close to us. So some of the things I'm going to say are not new. The subject of death has been in our attention recently. But what I want to do is, following this passage in Hebrews, to think about what that bondage of death is and how Christ sets us free, and especially how this subject of heaven addresses that. There are two ways that I want to address that idea of the fear of death. The first is the spiritual side of things, and secondly, a more physical or pragmatic side of things. When we face death, there are a couple of ways that people will face that. Those who are not believers, there is the fear of death that is the spiritual side of things, that is the fear of God's judgment in hell or eternal death that the Bible describes. And there is a lifelong bondage that comes from that fear, the fear that stems from someone who is outside of Christ. That especially is addressed by Christ, as is the physical fears that I'm going to address in a moment. But spiritually speaking, when you're outside of Christ and you're afraid to face the living God and His judgment, the answer is to repent and to trust in Jesus. It is the simple gospel message that is portrayed by this passage in Hebrews that points our attention to Jesus Christ, His incarnation, His coming as a man, His death on the cross, were to defeat Satan, who had that power of death, and to set free those who were His captives beforehand. There is another side, though, of that, the idea of fear of death, that can also be related to those who are believers. Believers are freed from the judgment of God, and we are declared righteous in Jesus Christ. But there are still times when there are doubts and fears that believers face. You might think of the book Pilgrim's Progress, the analogy of the Christian life. Remember how Christian came to the river of death at the end of his pilgrimage. He was almost to the celestial city. He was almost there. And he was. He was fearful to cross the river of death. If you know the book, why was he fearful? And if you don't know the book, why can you imagine that a believer might be fearful about death? How does that lead to fear?
Fear would be is there a passage in 1 John where love conquers all fear or something like this?
You think that you still almost have kind of a works mentality. You think you haven't done enough or that you are right with God. And so there's a fear that maybe I'm not doing it. Maybe I haven't made it. Maybe I'm not right.
Ultimately, you distrust in the works of Christ and the love that the Father has.
I fear the means of getting there.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone hurt when I die.
Good, you've mentioned several things that I wanted to very quickly touch on. The promises of Scripture about your relationship to Christ are ones that make it clear that God is the one who by His love and by the sacrifice of Christ saves you. And that is something that no one can take away. But our assurance of our own salvation is something that can ebb and flow for a variety of reasons. Our own sins rise up in front of our eyes and our conscience accuses us. Satan will add in his voice so that you are sure to recognize the sins that are in your life. And then the unbelief or the doubts that come from is this promise of God true? Has he forgiven me? That can often be the wrestlings of a conscience that is tender. It's not bad to have a tender conscience, but I would encourage you to meditate on the promises of God and the promise of heaven and what he has done for you. In this case, I'm going to have to say I refer you back to all the weeks that I've gone before, and I'm not going to go over that again. And there is a lot of unknown that we can be fearful of. As John said, the getting to heaven can be a fearful thing. We pray for peace. We pray for God to be our guide even through death itself, says Psalm 48. But it's an unknown path, and we haven't walked there. We've known saints who have died peacefully in their sleep. But we also have known saints that have gone unexpectedly. We've also known saints who have suffered for years under debilitating injuries or diseases. Or those who have faced persecution and, in a sense, horrific deaths. Those are unknowns, and they can make us fearful. Hebrews says that there is a fear of death that comes from that unknown and from the power of that fear. We can be in bondage. You can, by your doubts, live a life that is impoverished because you doubt all of your life that you're a Christian. And there are some that may be the most genuineness of Christians and yet still be plagued by those doubts and be ensnared by those into a lifelong slavery. Fear itself of the unknown can prompt or produce a lifelong slavery as well. You may long for a death that is comparatively easy, but you don't know what God has in store there. And so live in fear of that. What Hebrews directs your attention to is that Christ, the captain of our souls, that's the title that he's given back in verse 10, that he, since we are flesh and blood, and since he is bringing many sons to glory, and since he's the captain of our salvations, it is fitting for him to partake of flesh and blood, and since he has shared in the same, the flesh and blood, the death, the condemnation of the Father against sin, since he partook of those things for us, that he releases us. There's that release spiritually, since he is condemned, you will not be. And you can live your life resting in the promises of God, knowing that in the light of heaven that you are set free from eternal condemnation. And I would encourage you to see as well that the fear of death that comes from the unknown, because of the end of life and because of the facts of the doubts that we face, that even here too, that the coming of Christ is given there as an encouragement to us. He himself has suffered. He has been tempted. He is able to aid those who are thus tempted. And it's in the context of this, you know, this person and work of Christ that's living in the light of heaven addresses that lifelong slavery of fear of death. One last thought. We don't know what God has in store for us, but Paul in Philippians chapter 1 expresses his own approach then to life and to death. If I get it started, you might be able to finish it for me. To live is Christ.
To die is gain.
To die is gain. And that was his approach. He was living in light of heaven, and death was something that he could even say, I don't know what to choose. Because death will be the beginning of my eternity in God's presence. So that doesn't hold any fear for me. In fact, it has something that makes me long to be with God. I want that. Not in a weird way that seeks out death. It's a wanting to be with Christ. That's the right way to think of death, is leaving this body to then be at home with your Lord. But then he can also say, but I know that God has me here for a purpose, to live as Christ, and I want that too. I want both, and I'm torn. And so I'll live knowing that Christ has me here for a reason. And when it comes time to die, I know that I will be at home with my Savior. As we close this subject of heaven, I would urge you to have that same attitude that Paul has. To live as Christ, and to die as gain. To not be afraid of death, not to be enslaved by those fears, but to remember that God has you here for a time and a purpose. He takes those that he chooses in his own time, which means that you're here because of his purpose. And when your time comes, that he will be your guide even through death itself. So live knowing that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Unfortunately, gone well over time today. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask me, I'll stay up here for a few minutes afterwards and you can talk to me about those questions. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Lord God, thank you that that you can give us this confidence to live and to die and to know that we are in your hand. Thank you for the example that Paul gives us, that while we face a variety of unknowns in this life and even more unknowns when it comes to death, that we can have this surety that you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. And so, God, I pray that if we are fearful or doubtful, that you would, by your Spirit, draw us to the promises you've made regarding the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. I pray, Lord, that you would comfort us spiritually so that we would know that we belong to you. May that give us confidence regarding our eternal state, that we might live remembering that we are your children. And Father, for those other fears of death itself, of suffering loss or separation or pain, God, please relieve those. Help us to know that your grace is sufficient for every need that we will face. While those needs may be great, Lord, we know that you are greater. Our confidence is in you, our loving shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.